We, so far, by the way, in this little series of lessons that we're doing on the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, we've covered the glory of His person, the miracle of His birth, the meaning of His baptism, the reality of His temptation, the splendor of His transfiguration, the authority of His teaching. And there's been something for us in each one of those lessons, something we can apply to our lives, things that help us in our understanding of who the Lord Jesus Christ was in His earthly ministry and who He is as the eternal God. And we're thankful that He is the same yesterday, today, forever. His glory has been the same in eternity past. And we cannot get our, we can't wrap our minds around that. There's no way. I can't. I've never met anybody that could. All that come to God must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And there are things about God we cannot understand. But He has been glorious forever and will be glorious forever. The glory of His person, the miracle of His birth. And we discussed that. If it weren't for the virgin birth, He wouldn't have been God. He had to be virgin born. And then the meaning of His baptism. He was not baptized for any other reason than to be an example to us and to fulfill Scripture. And His baptism was a picture of His efficacious work on the cross of Calvary, His death, burial, and resurrection. And every time we are baptized, need to get baptized once after salvation, but every time a person comes into this pool and Pastor Derek puts them under the water, that is a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's an awesome thing. And it's something that should be, when it happens, an act of worship on our part. It's not just dunking somebody in water. It's a serious thing. And that makes me think of the time when we had the baptistry in the floor, and some of you were there when that kid dived in head first when the pastor offered his hand to help him get down there, and everybody laughed, but it was a serious thing. Baptism is serious, and Jesus Christ was baptized as an example. And of course we referred to 1 Peter 2:21, which says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow His steps." Then the reality of His temptation. He submitted Himself to that experience, knowing full well that there was no way He could sin. He was holy. But there was something in that for us to understand that it is not our strength that overcomes Satan. Satan, when we must take the Word of God, when Satan comes with a temptation, and put it in his face, okay? God's Word is the thing that we stand on, and the Holy Spirit gives us strength to resist temptation as we live in the Word of God and walk in the Word of God. And Jesus, of course, answered all of the temptations of Satan by saying, "Thus it is written." And then the splendor of His transfiguration. And we talked about Peter and how Peter wanted to build three tabernacles, sort of equating these other people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that was a silly thing for Peter to want to do. And I think Peter admits that now. But once the cloud covered and then the cloud went away, there was nobody but Jesus, Jesus only. And He is the one who's to have preeminence. And then we talked about the authority of His teaching. That was our last lesson. And we've said repeatedly, the study of the person of Jesus Christ is the best study that you can do with your life. Today we're going to talk about the message in His miracles. Let's go to Matthew chapter 11. Chapter 11, and we're going to read verses 1 through 6. Matthew 11, 1 through 6. "And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding His 12 disciples, He departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. And when John had heard in prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he who should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, that is John's disciples, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. And then there's a colon, and he tells him the things to tell John. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised up. And the poor have the gospel preached unto them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. That's the message that he sent back to John the Baptist. John the Baptist was just probably days away from having his head lopped off. And he probably had some idea that his fate was not good. And he had been the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he had announced, Behold the Lamb of God. He had said, There's one coming after me, whose shoe latches I'm not worthy to unloose. I'm not worthy to get down and take his shoes off. And then here he is in prison. And he's having a challenge. I don't know about you, but that says something to me. When I read of people like John the Baptist having a challenge of their faith, and I read what Paul said in Romans chapter 7, verses 15 and following, and I read of the other failures of people that are recorded in the Word of God. By the way, there's no failure in connection to Jesus Christ. None. Nothing. But we can name any. The only two just about that you can't find, in a sense, a flaw in their lives would be Joseph and Daniel. And yet Joseph, you know, there are people who say he had pride, and I think he probably did have. I know how it is with brothers. Most brothers are in competition with one another. And that's very natural. And Joseph was very human. And he was having these dreams, and they were revelations of the future. And eventually it came to pass, but his brothers didn't like what he told them. So that may have been a weakness. But Daniel just simply walked with the Lord, and we don't see a flaw. And there are others in Scripture where we see great exemplary faith in their lives. But even Daniel and Joseph were sinners. They fell short of perfection. And John here, though he was the forerunner of Christ and knew who he was from his youth, and his birth was a rather miraculous birth too, because his parents were beyond childbearing, and he was a cousin of the Lord Jesus Christ, no doubt knew him very well. And yet he asked this question, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? He was saying, Have I got the right person, or did I get the wrong person? Now you think about that. Think about representing and saying, Behold the Lamb of God. And then being in prison and asking the question, Wait a minute. Have I made a mistake? Are you really the one that I said you were? Or are you not? That's serious. But the thing I'm saying all that for is this. Notice what Jesus answered with. He said, Go and tell John what you hear and what you see. And there's only one thing that he said that was what they heard, and that was the last thing, the gospel. The poor have the gospel preached unto them. The rest is things that they saw. They saw miracles. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and then they're hearing the gospel. The poor are hearing the gospel preached to them. And then he says, Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. In other words, John, You name the right person. These are miracles that only can be done by God, and I am the God-man, and I'm preaching the gospel to the poor. The poor are hearing the gospel. Please don't be offended in me. Don't let what's happening to you now shake your faith in me. And what I say to Jerry is, Jerry, you're going to have some things that happen that you don't like. You're going to have some people who disagree with you. You're going to have some people who are unkind to you. You may even end up in prison. Pastors talked lately about what's on the horizon here in the United States. And let me tell you, if you're watching the news at all and reading much of the news, you're finding that the word Christian is appearing in type in negative tones, with negativity on the part of society as a whole. Christians in America are being singled out as square pegs in round holes. We don't fit in this culture. And so we could end up in a situation, not exactly like John, but we could end up in a situation where life could become so hard for us as believers that we could have some of the same thoughts if we are not careful, if we do not fix our eyes and our hearts on the Lord Jesus Christ and understand who He was. And His miracles are a part of who He is. And on your outline, I put, let's see if I've got my copy here. At the top, I said there are two special reasons why it's important in any study of the person and work of the Lord that time and thought be given to the miracles which He performed during His earthly ministry. And I said during His earthly ministry, but is it possible that He can still perform miracles today? Yes, He can. Mm-hmm. I believe that almost every one of us knows of something that's happened somewhere that would be in the realm of miraculous. Yeah. Uh-huh. I heard somebody say, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So, but there's a significance to the miracles that He performed during His earthly ministry. And there, the two reasons that we list is, first of all, that He so frequently worked miracles. There are actually 33 of the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then the second one is the great space and detail given to record the miracles in the Gospels. And then we ask the question, what is the message of the miracles? What is the message of the miracles? What was the message of the miracles then? And what is the message of the miracles today? And why are the study of the miracles and understanding of the miracles of Christ important to us today? Well, we're going to try to answer some of those questions. By the way, and we probably will go through these 5 points next week. We may get into number one today, but let me give you some preliminary thoughts as we think about the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've already mentioned that there are at least 33 of them that are recorded. And someone has said that the miracles are the warp and woof of the gospel. I don't know if by the time we finish this study that you would agree with that, but that's a statement that somebody made. The miracles are not just coincidental. They were not something that Jesus did to just show off. They were not things that He did because the people that He performed them on were special. The miracles that Jesus performed are a part of the package of who He is. And I think we need to think of that in that way. Not think, okay, he's Jesus and he performed these miracles, and in a sense detach the miracles from who he is. You have to think of Christ not as just the miracle worker, of course, but you have to think of the miracles that Christ performed as a part of who he was. And I think we'll see that as we go through this study. There are people, by the way, there's a lot of discussion about the miracles. And it's always, when you start talking about the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's always given rise to discussion and, in some cases, argument. Some people argue about the miracles. Let's think out loud. What are some of the responses of the unregenerate mind to the miracles of Christ? And just name one or two miracles and let's talk about it. One of the titles that's been given to our present president is what? Some of the titles that he's given, been given. Can you remember them? Yeah. Messiah, the anointed one. And they've actually referred to him by making reference on occasion to the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ. I heard somebody make some reference to walking on water one time with reference to Barack Obama. I'm not against Barack Obama as a person. Don't get me wrong. I just think he's wrong. And no one's perfect. That's right. No one's perfect. We make mistakes. Right. One of the great marks of good character, by the way, is to admit when we're wrong. And some people have an awful hard time doing that. By the way, my comments are not political. Don't take it that way. I'm using this simply because this is what the people in the media have done. And it's not just the conservatives. The liberals have also talked about him as being wonderful and talking about him in a way as if he is, the Messiah, so to speak. And they've used the term Messiah. But I think that they have referred to the miracles of Christ in reference to this man more tongue-in-cheek, absolutely. Nobody believes that Barack Obama can walk on water. Right? That's right. We respect the office of the President of the United States of America. That's true. Yeah. I'm not disrespecting him. What I'm telling you is, no, don't take it that way. And by the way, if you're a Democrat, God loves you and you have as much right to be a Democrat as anybody has to be a Republican. If you're a Republican, God loves you, and you have as much right to be a Republican as anybody has to be a Democrat. And I don't know who's what here, and I don't care. And I haven't told you what I am. Some may assume what I am. Actually, I'm independent, to be honest with you. I'm not going to vote for a Republican because he's a Republican, nor am I going to vote for a Democrat because he's a Democrat. But there are people who are Democrats that will not vote for anybody but Democrats because they're Democrats. There are people that are Republicans that won't vote for anybody but Republicans because they're Republicans. And by the way, if you don't have your thinking cap on when it comes to the voting booth and you are not thinking biblical principles when you put your vote in, then you need to ask God to help you, to give you the principles of God's Word, and you bring those to the voting booth. I didn't mean to get into all that, and I apologize for the time taken, but I just want to make sure that everybody understands that I will tell you this. I love Barack Obama. He's our president. Christ died for him. I've done some research on him, and I also know what he believes. I just disagree with him, and that's all right. I will not let my disagreement diminish my love for him. By the way, if you let your disagreement with somebody diminish your love for them, then there's something wrong with you. I could look Barack Obama in the eyes, shake his hand, and say, I love you, and mean it with all of my heart. Have I prayed that if he's not really born again, which I have doubts, I'm not a judge, but I have prayed that God would get the gospel to him and he'd be truly born again. I prayed the same thing for George Bush. He said he was saved, but just because somebody says they're saved doesn't mean they're saved, does it? No. No. Now, I didn't mean to get into all that. My warning's gone off, and I've got 3 minutes left. But the thing that I'm, the reason I mentioned that is because the miracles of Jesus Christ are often a subject of discussion and argument. And have you ever tried to walk on water? Well, I floated in the Dead Sea, but I couldn't walk on the water of the Dead Sea, no matter how thick it is. Only water I've ever walked on is frozen water. Now, I have walked on that. And so I can say I've walked on water. How many of you have walked on frozen water? All right, the next time somebody starts making fun of the miracles of Christ, say, hey, what do you mean you don't believe in the miracles of Christ? I've walked on water. And let them laugh at you a little bit and then finally say, it was frozen. No, I have never tried. I have stepped onto water and my foot went right down into it. And the human mind thinks, walk on water? You something wrong with you if you believe that. Raise the dead? You're kidding me. You think he really did? Oh, I think it's just a myth. I think they made it up. That is the human mind. And so the miracles of Christ have been the subject of discussion and argument, but I want to suggest to you that the miraculous is inseparable from genuine faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. If I do not believe that those miracles took place exactly as they're recorded in Scripture, then why in the world have I put my faith in Christ as my Savior? If I don't believe that the miracles really happened, why in the world am I here today? Let's go home, honey. Let's give our Bibles away, and let's forget all this religion junk if the miracles didn't happen. They did happen, just exactly as recorded. And they are not an insignificant part of who Jesus is. They are extremely important. And we need to study the miracles, and we need to study what the Word of God teaches about the miracles, and we need to see what the purpose of the miracles was. It wasn't just to heal the leper. It wasn't just to cause a blind man to see. It wasn't just to raise the dead. It wasn't just to walk on water for the convenience of getting out to the boat. The miracles were not just something happenstance or something because he could do them, he just did them just for the fun of it, to show off or something, or because somebody needed it. Okay, I hit snooze instead of dismiss. Let me just stop at that word and put 50 exclamation points behind it. They are something. They're something. The miracles of Jesus Christ are something wonderful. And they're not to be looked over lightly. And so next week, we'll share some more thoughts. This has just been introductory. And then we'll give you some specifics as to what the message of the miracles really is. And it may be a little bit surprising to you when we begin to look into it and find out really why he performed those miracles. We'll see you next Sunday morning for Sunday school.